The following is a seminar entitled Higher Taste, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on July 22, 2012, at the Bhaktivedanta Manor in Aldenham, UK.
So I was asked to give to talk to you all today on a topic of my choice. I just come back from the Baltic Summer Vaishnava Festival. And there I was asked to give two seminars. One was on how to give up material sense gratification by developing a higher taste. And that seminar was very well received, so I thought I would do something like that here today as well. Speaking on this topic, how to give up material sense gratification by developing a higher taste. So to invoke auspiciousness, we will pray first.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
There's a very nice verse which gives us very first-class, solid information on how to do this most important psychological technique for our happiness. That is chapter 2, text number 59 of Srimad Bhagavad Gita. So I'll read that verse in purport by Srila Prabhupada. Vishayavani vartante niraharasya dehina rasavarjang visopyasya parang drishvani vartate. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remains. But ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he is fixed in consciousness. Purport. Unless one is transcendentally situated, it is not possible to cease from sense enjoyment. The process of restriction from sense enjoyment by rules and regulations is something like restricting a diseased person from certain types of eatables. The patient, however, neither likes such restrictions nor loses his taste for eatables. Similarly, sense restriction by some spiritual process like Ashtanga Yoga in the matter of Yam, Niyam, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana, etc., is recommended for less intelligent persons who have no better knowledge. But one who has tasted the beauty of the Supreme Lord Krishna in the course of his advancement in Krishna consciousness no longer has a taste for dead material things. Therefore, the restrictions are there for the less intelligent neophytes in the spiritual advancement of life. But such restrictions are only good if one actually has a taste for Krishna consciousness. When one is actually Krishna conscious, he automatically loses his taste for pale things. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapata Kamalam Shri Gudun Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Ditsajivam Sadaitam Sabadutam Padijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha. So, I am speaking on this topic, how to get a higher taste and thus give up the desire for material sense gratification. So one may ask, well, why would I want to do that? I mean, I like sense gratification. It's fun. Why would I want to give it up? I mean, this is my entertainment on Friday night. Why would I want to give up sense gratification? The point is that the happiness we experience in this world is a combination or an interaction between the senses and the objects of the senses. That happiness is always very limited. It's very limited and it's temporary. And once it's over, it's over. You can't derive unlimited happiness by the interaction between the senses and the objects of the senses. One may ask, well, why not? Why is that seems unfair. Why did God create us like that? It's not unfair. It's our own fault, actually, our own stupidity. Actually, we are meant to experience ever unlimited happiness in everything that we experience at every minute. But because of the present moment, we have misidentified ourselves, who are actually pure spiritual beings, qualitatively one with God, because we have misidentified ourselves with material bodies which are temporary, full of ignorance and misery. You see, subject to three kinds of miseries. In this material world, we're subject to three kinds of miseries. Miseries of the mind and the body, miseries caused by other living beings, and miseries caused by natural disasters. So we have misidentified ourselves with a body, with a situation which is by its very nature miserable. Just like, for example, if you were in the Titanic, you see, the sinking Titanic, it may appear to be a beautiful ship, there's wonderful chandeliers everywhere, there's a beautiful, I mean, an incredibly beautiful staircase, you know, going up from the ballroom. I mean, it's just unbelievably decked out cruise ship, the Titanic, you see. But what's the value? The thing is sinking into the Arctic Ocean. You see, what's the value of it? It may appear to be very nice, but it's sinking into the Arctic Ocean. It can't give you any lasting happiness. So the point is that we are actually not creatures of this world. We are actually spiritual beings, qualitatively one with the Supreme Lord. And we are meant to enjoy an unlimited life of happiness in His divine association. The Lord has appeared here in His deity form along with His eternal consorts, Srimati Radharani, our mother, Radharani, you see. They have appeared here in the form to invite us to come back to our original identity in the spiritual world, you see. This is not who we actually are. We're not these bodies. We're not Gujaratis. We're not Americans or Britishers, you see. This isn't us. This is just a covering of the self. That's all. So the difficulty is, at the present moment, we are trying to get our happiness on the material level, a place where it is not actually happiness. So we have to be frustrated. Even if you become very well situated, you may become a big, big businessman, a Birla, or a big, big prime minister, you see, or some famous cricket player. You know, you may get some very big, big position here in this material existence. But still, death will take everything away, you see. It's stated very nicely in Mahabharata. Ahani ahani bhutani ganchantiya yamalayam shesha stavaram ichchami kim ascharya matahapadam. This was actually a question by Yamaraj of Maharaj Yudhisthira, that what is the most amazing thing in this world? And Maharaj Yudhisthira explained in this way. He said that at every moment countless numbers of living beings are being dragged to the court of Yamaraj. But those who are remaining there thinking, hey, no problem, I'm going to be here forever enjoying myself. Is it? So human life means we should become sober, You see, we have an intelligence in this human form which is different from the animals. All the animals know is material sense gratification. That's all they know. Eat, 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 mate, 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 defend, 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 and sleep, sleep, sleep. That's all they know. But if a human being only bases his life's happiness on eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, then I ask you this, ladies and gentlemen, is he any better than an animal? Is he any better than an animal? That's right, he's none. This gentleman gave me a negative no. Thank you very much. So, the real point is that we are actually meant to have a loving relationship with the Supreme Lord. Because as Lord Chaitanya has so wonderfully enlightened us, he says, Jivara Svarupahoi Krishnera Nityadas. The constitutional position of a living being is that he is the eternal servant of Krishna. So that's what we are meant to be, the eternal servants of Krishna. We're meant to get back to our original identity, you see. This is the real meaning of Indian culture. You see, Indian culture doesn't mean chai, chai, you see. That is not Indian culture. The real meaning of Indian culture is to follow the path of the Vedas, the great Mahajanas. Mahajano yena gata sapanta. This is the real meaning of Indian culture. To follow in the footsteps of the great saintly teachers, the Mahajanas, you see. Because they are teaching us how to enjoy on the spiritual platform. That platform, the spiritual platform, is far, far, far superior to the material platform. Now, we don't say to negate the material platform. Don't worry and tell that I'm telling you to quit your job, you know, give up your car and live under a tree. We're not saying that. Please do not misunderstand. The Bhagavad Gita is the highest knowledge of how to become renounced from this material world. But who was the recipient of the Bhagavad Gita? A householder, not a sannyasi. Arjuna is a householder. And he is the example of someone who perfectly followed Bhagavad Gita. Did he quit his job? No. What was his job? Warrior. Did he give up his wives, his children? No. He maintained his relationship with his husband and father. You see. So coming to the spiritual platform doesn't mean you have to artificially give up anything in this world. No. It means you have to understand, as so wonderfully explained in the Sri Isha Upanishad, Ishavasham Ivam Sarvam, Ishavasham Idam Sarvam Yajaga Sarvam. But how's that go? Ishavasham Idam Sarvam Yat. I'm just not forgetting the Sanskrit. Everything animate or inanimate that is in the world is owned and controlled by the Lord. Therefore, one should accept only those things that are necessary for himself, not accepting other things, knowing well to whom they belong. You see. So, we all have our quota. Whatever God has allotted to you, that is all right. You keep that allotment, but you engage that in the service of the Lord. Don't think that you're the proprietor. This is my wife. This is my husband. These are my children. This is my money. This is my house. This is my car. Do not think you are the proprietor. That's the key. Think you are the caretaker. That's all. Just like the teller in the bank, he's handing millions and millions of pounds. Does he think it's his money? If he does, he'll be in big trouble. They'll come and arrest him, put him in prison. It's not your money. You're just handling it on behalf of the bank. You see? So whatever you have, you're simply handling it on behalf of Bhagavan. That's all. It is Krishna's property. So if you see everything you have is Krishna's property and you engage it all in Krishna's service, what is the result? Rupa Goswami says, Jivan Mukta Sa Uchite. You immediately become a liberated soul. You don't have to go to the forest. You don't have to go to the Himalayas to become liberated. simply engage everything in Krishna's service, and then jiva mukta sa uchate. You immediately become a liberated soul. So this is learned from bona fide spiritual master. Prabhupada has taught us this art. How to live in this world, successful, happy person in this world, at the same time be a liberated transcendentalist. You see? This is the great science of bhakti. It is the perfect science of bhakti. There's some really, really wonderful, actually there's unlimited wonderful points that can be derived from any one of Prabhupada's purports. But especially as I was reading this morning, or this early this afternoon, to this purport, these points really jumped out of the page at me. One who has tasted the beauty of the Supreme Lord Krishna. Now that's very interesting, Prabhupada's choice of words. How many times do we talk about tasting beauty? Is that how we normally speak English? I tasted some beauty this morning. No, we don't usually say that. Well, I had, you know, I tasted some nice prasadam today at the Hare Krishna temple. You know, that we say. But tasting beauty? Prabhupada is elevating us to a higher level of understanding of what it means to taste and what is beautiful. So, actually, you could say experiencing beauty. One who has experienced the beauty of the Supreme Lord Krishna. So has Prabhupada used the wrong word? No. He's helped to elevate us to a higher level of understanding of what it means to become Krishna conscious. Just like you can taste something with your tongue. Appreciate the taste. In the same way that you can taste something with your tongue and go, wow, that really fantastic gulab jamun. You see? In the same way you can taste the beauty of Krishna. Wow. You see? One who has awakened their Krishna consciousness, they can look at the deity and it becomes, they can look at the beautiful Lord standing here and it becomes the most incredible experience of taste. You see? So the point is, we should learn how to taste Krishna. Because once you get a taste for Krishna, then Maya becomes, you know, not interesting anymore. As Prabhupada continues, he no longer has a taste for dead material things. So how often do we think of material things as dead? Do we usually think that way, dead material thing? We don't think they're dead. Going here, going there, and we call that a dead experience. Going to see this, going to do that. No, we don't think of it as a dead, something dead, but here Prabhupada is a taste for dead material things. Actually, everything material, it is dead. It only appears to be alive because Krishna is within that thing in the form of the Paramatma, the Supersoul. So instead of trying to enjoy that thing, which is actually dead, we should strive instead to taste the beauty of Krishna by engaging that thing in the service of Krishna. Does anybody have any questions? We have a few minutes left. Any questions? How to learn to taste Krishna? Prabhupada told us, if you simply engage your tongue in chanting Hare Krishna and tasting prasad, then you become liberated. So, tongue, taste is a word that we associate with the tongue, so you can taste Krishna. In other words, prasadam is delicious, also Hare Krishna chanting is delicious. There's a taste. The tongue is also experiencing. So try to taste Krishna with your tongue. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. It is actually, there's no sweeter taste than Krishna. You see? Krishna, 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 Krishna. Rupa Goswami talks about this. It's a wonderful shloka. Tunde tandamani vriteng vitanate tundavali labdiye karna krodha kadamani gatayate kunarvide vrishpraham cheta prangana sangani vijayate savendriyanam kritim no jane janita kriyadbir amritai krishneti varnadvai. You know that shloka? Very beautiful shloka by Rupa Goswami. In fact, this is the shloka that right here in this very building, upstairs, Prabhupada said, George Harrison, you should write a song about this verse. Prabhupada told George Harrison to write a song about this verse from Rupa Goswami. It's such a very special verse. Right here in this building, Prabhupada told George Harrison to write a song about this verse. I don't think George ever did. I didn't follow his discography, but I don't think George ever did that. So some songwriter can come along and do that and write his song. So it's an amazing verse. Here's the translation. Rupa Goswami says, I do not know how much nectar these two syllables Krishna have produced. Because when I utter Krishna, Krishna is dancing on my tongue. And there's so much nectar oozing out of Krishna that my one little tongue cannot capture hardly any of it. There's such an infinitesimal percentage of that nectar my tongue is able to capture. Therefore, if I could just have millions of tongues, then I could at least get a little bit more of that unlimited ocean of nectar which is available in Krishna. And when those two syllables, those two amazing, the most amazing syllables, Krishna, enter the holes of my ears. Oh, there's so much nectar. I need billions and trillions of ears to capture that nectar. And when Krishna is dancing in the courtyard of my heart, my mind is completely stunned in this transcendental wonder. You see, my mind is totally captivated by Krishna and I'm stunned in a state of transcendental wonder. So Rupa Goswami is answering your question much better than I ever could think of answering your question. Rupa Goswami is answering you that you have to understand how much nectar is there. Krishna, you see. Your two little tongues, Mataji, they're not enough, you see. I mean, your one little tongue is not enough for these two syllables. You see, if you had a million tongues, that would not be enough. Even a quadrillion tongues would not be enough for you to capture that unlimited ocean of nectar. You see, Namamrita-sindhu, that ocean of the unlimited nectar of the name. So what we can do with our one little tongue and our two little ears, you see, we can just try our best to connect, you see, to connect with Krishna. So my dear Lord, you've given unlimited nectar in your names, but as Lord Chaitanya said, but unfortunate as I am, I have no attraction for them. You see. So what to do? We're attracted by Maya, oh yes, you see. If we see a beautiful woman or a handsome-looking man, we become very attracted, you see. But Krishna's name, well, it's just some mantra, you see. That's our illusion. It's our illusion. So we have to purify ourselves. We have to go to the doctor, get some medicine. And who is the doctor? That is the spiritual master. And what is the medicine? Hare Krishna mantra, that is the medicine. See, if you take the medicine according to the doctor's prescription, then it is effective. That's why a guru is required. If you take the medicine on your own, you may not take it properly, you may not get the result. But if you go to the physician, the expert physician, and you precisely follow his instructions, Then you get the cure, you see. So therefore, guru is required. As stated in the Mundaku Upanishad, tad vaganartam saguru meva bhikacet samat panahi srautiyam brahmanishtam. Mundaku Upanishad. If you want to truly become awakened in that transcendental knowledge, you see, that transcendental realization, then you must go to a bona fide spiritual master. You see, it's compulsory. If you've studied Sanskrit, you know there are different verbal endings. Like gacchati means he goes, gacchanti, they go, gacchat, must go. You see, that verbal ending makes a difference in Sanskrit language. So in this verse, that ending, it is called the vidhi-lin form of the verb. That vidhi-lin ending is used. Gacchat, must go. So Mundaka Upanishad gives us no choice. You have to go to Guru. You can't take this medicine on your own. You must go to Guru. And then by the expert guidance of Sri Gurudev, the spiritual master, you see, if you follow his instructions precisely, they are coming down. You see, he is not inventing anything. He is simply taking what has come down from his spiritual master, from his guru, from his guru, from his guru, back to Adi Guru, Lord Sri Krishna himself. You see. So we will take the instructions of Sri Guru and follow them very, very carefully, very, very sincerely. Then we will get that result. Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santaksa daiva hridayeshu valoka yanti yang shamushundaram achanya ganasaparupam govindamadi purusham damaham vajami. If one will simply anoint his eyes with the salve of love of God, then he will see Krishna everywhere, both within and without. So in this way, we have to take the guidance of our beloved Guru Maharaj, how to take this ointment of love of God. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram. And that day will come, we'll see Krishna everywhere. You can come for darshan here, or you can have darshan 24 hours a day wherever you go. Krishna will be, you'll be able to see Krishna all the time. You see? That is the privilege, the great privilege of the liberated soul. They can see Krishna face to face, eye to eye. Because they purified their hearts. Krishna can reveal himself to anybody he wants, but he only reveals himself to those who have pure love for him. Krishna is very, it's an exclusive club. Is it? The club of pure bhakti. So we can develop that pure bhakti. Everybody can become a pure devotee. They simply have to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and carefully follow his instructions. It's like baking a banana bread. It's not a big deal. You just got to follow the recipe. I gave the example this morning in class. It's not difficult to make banana bread, but if you don't follow the recipe, you're going to get simply a bunch of goo in the bottom of the pan. But if you follow the recipe, you're going to get wonderful banana bread, you see. So to become a pure devotee of Krishna, it is not difficult. To be able to see Krishna face to face, it is not difficult. Simply you have to follow the instructions given in the cookbook, Prabhupada's books, you see. Simply follow, take Prabhupada's books, read them. Everyone should have a full set of Prabhupada's books and read all of them and try to live by them. If you do that, you'll be absolutely amazed of what a wonderful home your home will be. Your home will be like the spiritual world. It won't be like an ordinary British home. It'll be like when you go home, you'll feel like you're entering into the temple, just like you come here. If you read Prabhupada's books and base your life on Prabhupada's books, you'll feel so happy and uplifted. Even in your own home, you'll feel like you're in the spiritual world. If you can follow carefully these teachings. So any other questions? Yeah.
How do we know that what is our quota? Just like if a grihastha is making a lot of money, and serving of Krishna, but at the same time he must be keeping some for himself.
Yeah, everyone has a different quota according to their position. A brahmachari has a certain quota, brahmachrini, householder, vanaprastha sannyas. Everyone has an allotted quota. So if you want to know specifically, you simply ask your spiritual master. That's the simple thing. Guru Maharaj, what is my quota? You see? That's how you just ask your Guru Maharaj. He'll tell you. Because the Krishna consciousness is very personal. It's like the doctor gives individual prescriptions for each patient. It's not like a generic prescription. You know, he analyzes, he meets the individual patient, he gives a specific prescription. So there's a certain quota that's for you, uniquely yours, you see. Even within the ashram, each individual can have a different quota of how much, you know, what is actually best facilitates their being Krishna conscious and preaching Krishna consciousness. So that you have to ask your spiritual master. But in general, the principle is this. Whatever you can engage nicely in Krishna's consciousness, that is your quota. In fact, if you can engage the whole world in Krishna consciousness, the whole world is your quota. We have no problem if you become the world emperor, the world empress, you see. If you can engage the whole world in Krishna's service, you can become our world empress, the ruler of the planet Earth, you see. We have no problem. So, whatever you can engage nicely in Krishna's service, that is your quota. It's a general principle. Whatever you can engage nicely in Krishna's service, that is your quota. It's like for a householder, well, how many kids can we have? You see? Well, how many kids can you make devotees? I know one godbrother, he has like how many? 8 or 9 kids? And remember that in India? He was doing the cheese business?
Yeah, 9.
Huh?
9 kids.
How many?
9
children. And they were all devotees. He was doing a fantastic job. 9 children. And they were all ecstatic Vaishnavas, you see. So what your quota is, whatever you can engage nicely in Krishna's service, that's the principle. Whatever you can engage nicely in Krishna's service, that's your quota. Yes?
You said Krishna consciousness is personal.
Personal.
Yeah, I ask you how we develop very low level to high level Krishna consciousness, very low level to high level.
How does one go from low level to high level Krishna consciousness? By associating with high level devotees. That's the way. That's all. You just have to find high level devotees and serve them, hear from them, learn from them. You see, that's why a guru is required. Guru means high level devotee. If he's not high level, he's not guru. Guru means high level, you see. So guru, siksha guru, diksha guru means high level devotees, you see. So you associate with high level devotees, those who are advanced in Krishna consciousness. You hear from them submissively, inquire, bow down at their feet, serve them. And this way is described by Krishna, tadvidi pranipatena. Paripashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam ganinastatvadarshinaha. Just try to learn the truth by approaching the high level devotee, see, the spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively, render service unto him. The self realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. So that knowledge is the knowledge that will elevate you from the low level to the high level. That is the knowledge. It's not the knowledge of how to, you know, fix your automobile and how to fix a flat tire. Now you can find out from a mechanic. But the high-level devotees, they will give you knowledge how you can become high-level devotee. So that's the key. Associate with high-level devotees. Siksha guru, diksha guru, like that. Any other question? Yes.
How do you strike the right balance between material and spiritual life?
Hmm?
How do you strike the right balance?
How do you find the right balance? That's a very nice question. Very important. Thank you for that question. Actually, it is stated in the Sri Isha Upanishad. Vidyam cha vidyam cha yas tad vido vyam saha avidyayam ritam tirtva vidyayam ritam ashnute. Only one who knows the process of nescience and that of transcendental knowledge side by side can transcend the influence of repeated birth and death and thus attain or thus enjoy the full blessings of immortality. So the idea of balancing vidya and avidya, you know, our material needs with our spiritual needs, it's a very important point. So what is the proper balance? Bhagavatam says healthy, two things are there, self-realization and healthy, being materially healthy. That's what you have to see. You shouldn't live your life in such a way that you're not healthy. And physically, you have to be physically healthy, your wife, your children, everybody's in good health. You see. If they have sufficient food, sufficient living arrangement, everything, so they're strong, they're healthy, you see, physically. So good health is your quota, and then beyond that, self-realization. It's not that for entertainment you should engage in mundane things. If you really want to become a pure devotee, you should not indulge in material entertainment. Going to mundane movies. There's no need for mundane entertainment. But being healthy, that you must do. Good food, good, you know, fresh air, proper, a clean, nice atmosphere to live in. That's very important. You must do that. But for your entertainment should not be mundane entertainment. You know, going to Disney World or something like that. It's not necessary. Your entertainment should be chanting and dancing, Hare Krishna mantra, you see. Engaging in devotional service. This is susukam. Krishna says this devotional service is susukam. It is the supreme entertainment. So take Krishna consciousness as your entertainment, not mundane entertainment, you see. You know, playing Monopoly or something like that. Krishna consciousness is your entertainment. But on the material side, good food, proper clothing, proper living facility to the whole family is very strong and health, good, very good health. Does that help you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Does that mean that you give your best?
All right.
Does that mean that you give your best at your job? Presumably to get. It also mean that you give your best at your job.
At your job, we actually, one of the symptoms of, yes, a good example of job is Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He was a worker for the, an employee for the British government. He was their most expert employee. He was a magistrate doing, like a judge, and he could do things twice as fast as everybody else. He, even materially, he was the best. And the Britishers saw he was so expert when there was some difficulty, just like the bogus, there was one bogus incarnation who claimed that he was God himself and he had come to destroy the Britishers. So the British sent Bhaktivinoda Thakur to curb him. He expertly did that. If there was a Hindu-Muslim riot in a village, they would send Bhaktivinoda Thakur to quell the riot. So he was very expert materially. And that is that being expert is one of the 26 qualities of a Vaishnava. So, for keeping your family well fed and healthy, you want to have a good income. So you should be very expert at your job. You see, should be very. We actually, in every department, the devotee should be the most expert. So that gradually, all the leaders of the society will be Vaishnavas. That's our goal in every field. You see, the financial world. The technical world, let every devotee become the leader, you see. If we have the Vaishnavas are the leaders in every department, education, government, technology, business, if in every field the Vaishnavas are the leaders, Because they're the most expert as businessmen, most expert bankers. Whatever they're doing, they become the most expert for Krishna, you see. So they become leaders. We want in every field, our devotees should become the most expert and the leaders in that field so that we can make them Krishna conscious, you see. Prabhupada one time said, if you're a businessman, Krishna conscious businessman can aspire to become the wealthiest businessman in the whole world. Stephen Jobs was not a devotee, but he did take prasadam when he was a hippie. And in the iPhone, he put a lotus flower and a peacock feather. So just imagine if he had actually become a devotee. Actually, when he first got cancer, he tried to get in touch with Dinabandhu Prabhu. And you all know Dinabandhu in Vrindavan. He used to be the temple president of the temple when Steve Jobs was a hippie. He used to come and Dinabandhu used to preach to him when he was a hippie. And he remembered Dinabandhu when he came down with cancer. And he tried to get in touch with him, but he wasn't able to connect. Maybe Dinabandhu was out on parikrama or something. But Daivashakti got the message, actually. But just imagine if Stephen Jobs had actually become a devotee. Even that little contact he had had with the self-realization process, got a peacock feather and a lotus flower on the iPhone. Just imagine if you become a devotee. Had Krishna there on the iPhone. Everybody gets Krishna on their iPhone. So if we can have devotees in every field, businessmen, educators, you see, politicians, if in every field, the devotees can be the leaders. This will be very, very advantageous. And this way the whole world can become Krishna conscious if our devotees. So we encourage you, whatever field you're in, you become the most expert. So you move to the top. Of course, if you have to work so hard to do that you can't be Krishna conscious, then don't worry about it. They want you to work, 20 hours a day to become the manager, forget it, it's not that important. Not that you over-endeavor for it. But if you can become expert, just like one of my disciples in her department, she's a lady. She's such a very good devotee. At the same time, she's very expert. They made her the manager of the department, you see. So, in this way, we want our devotees to become expert in everything. It's very good. It's good for job security, and it's good for that we can influence people. You see. If the leader is Krishna conscious, then that has an impact on others. Oh, here's the manager of my department, and here they are. They have a picture of Krishna at their desk. Maybe if I also have a picture of Krishna at my desk, I'll become a manager someday. You see, people, that subtle impression is there, you see. So I'll go ahead and stop here. The next lecture is at what time?
6 o'clock.
It's 6 o'clock. We're going to have another seminar, and this is how to stay connected with Krishna in love 24 hours a day. That will be at 6 o'clock tonight right here. So I thank you all very much. If you have like to get on any further questions, you can email me and get on my e-course at www.backtohome.com. www.backtohome.com. That'll get you on my regular e-course so you can get daily mailings from me in your email about Krishna consciousness. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.